Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I am Jay, the producer, and this week we're sitting down once again for part two of our interview with the members of the Minor Fall and the owners of the Crooked Crab. And make sure you stick around till the end to hear a very lovely song from the Minor Fall.
We were out there talking, man, and we definitely want to give this place its due. And I mean, it's major to us, man, because this is our first, like, you know, on location, if you will. So, man, we got to get into everything, man, like flavors, like how do you come up with it? By the end of it, honestly, I don't know how it works. I don't know how often y'all switch flavors, but somebody has to do us a Club 937 a brew.
Like, Dark and Tan.
It has to happen. I don't know how that works. I don't know what you got to do. Let me know the secret, and we can work on something. I live 15 minutes away. I can come anytime. We can sit down and draw out a plan.
Like the gray-bearded crab, you know, or the, you know, it have to have something. It's got to be crab something.
It's got
to
be,
crab,
yeah,
nebula,
yeah.
And, you know.
Bearded crab, right? That sounds pretty.
Yeah, sure.
Would you drink that?
Maybe.
I would drink a gallon at a time of the
sounds
bearded crab.
Sounds like the
crab,
fuzz box.
Dude. Yeah,
it does. The fuzzy crab.
The fuzz,
yeah,
crab.
The fuzzy crab. Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
No. Oh. You got both?
But no, nah, man.
Did it to myself on that one.
Dude, real is real, man. We were out there in the tasting room looking around, and like the artwork is beautiful for each beer, you know? Like the paintings of all the different stuff on the walls, the merch is incredible. Like the place is packed.
The canvas arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome how you guys built it, man. It's a really good job. So what's, can you tell us anything else? Who does the art and who's got the mind for it?
Yeah, we got to give a shout out to Chris Bishop, who does all of our cans and all of our art. A lot of the art in the tap room. You know, it's like you guys said, the beer and art kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, the brewer's got a lot of ingredients to work with, and it's really creative liberty that keeps it interesting for him. And then we come up with a name. We say, hey, Chris Bishop, take this name, show us something cool. And what you see is what we get. So it's always good stuff.
And what's awesome about Chris is he's actually the graphic designer for PBS Kids. So if you've got kids and you turn
awesome
on PBS,
man,
you'll see his doodles on there.
I kind of see it a little bit, man. Like my daughter had a big phase for the PBS Kids. She's older than that now. Now she's into all the Netflix crap, whatever.
But yeah. That's awesome.
And so we found him on Instagram. My wife found him on Instagram. I'll give her credit for that. And he is killer because he does all these like childish cartoony things, but they all have a little bit of edge to it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is so perfect for us because we're playful. We like to have fun, but you know, we're beer and we're rockers and we like that edge. And he was totally into it. And all the stuff he comes up with is perfect for us because it's like dark and twisted, but on like this cartoony, playful setting.
I dig it.
So
I dig
we've been so
it.
Lucky to have him into it. And on the wall over there, you see every label that he's done for us on the right side. And it's an audio medium, so you can't see it, but if you go to our Facebook, you can see all the artwork that we've put out.
Mandatory plug, Crooked Crab Brewing on Facebook, Instagram,
there you go.
Twitter.
There you go.
Y'all ever done a SpongeBob beer? Y'all had any requests or anything for Sponge? Because, you know, because of the what's it called? The SpongeBob, the restaurant he works at.
The Krabby Patties, yeah.
Krusty Krab.
So we haven't done SpongeBob yet, but Chris has a lot of the same like nerd taste as we do. So lots of 80s stuff, video game stuff in there.
There's one kind of towards the bottom third called Hot Tropic all the way to the right, which is our emo beer label of some emo kid sitting on an island by himself.
Totally, man. Raise him up, Jay. Raise him up.
I fought the claw. We've got the claw one.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got
can
Chuck.
Can we say
Chuck,
the
oh, we
T
can't
word?
Say that either, dude. We already got that
they
one.
They already sued us.
What?
You guys have been sued.
They
well, it's more of a cease
and
desist.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
It's just a minor
it's
threat.
It's not Chuck
right?
Brown. It's Chuck.
It's just a minor threat.
It's just a
Chuck
minor threat.
Comma Brown Ale.
Yeah, Chuck.
Do you have any of that left?
Chuck, we have some Chuck, yeah.
Do you?
We do, in the tap room.
I got to take some home, man.
Here you go, bro. You can take
this
that home right there. Yep, that's it.
Oh, no, I'm in cans.
Oh, well, I have glass while I'm working on this nebula. Where was I going? I was saying something
the
about
beer is
can we say
SpongeBob.
Can we say the T word down there?
Uh-oh.
The T-E-T.
Go for it. Oh, yeah.
Is that
so
allowed? I don't
sure.
Want
generic
I don't
block
wanna
video game?
Yeah.
Generic right next to Short Plumber That Jumps video game.
Exactly.
Well, I did see.
We're trying to stay open this year.
Man, I saw on the schedule. No, but I feel the nerd culture, man, because I saw on the schedule there's like Friends trivia, Harry Potter trivia. Like, there's all these different random trivia nights
like
coming
Friends
up.
Like Friends, the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, God. When is that?
Tuesday, I think.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here. Dag on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, the nerd culture is strong in this place.
For sure.
And thank you. You know, thank you guys for keeping it going. You know,
some of my favorites, if you look exactly halfway down that door, again, folks online can't see it, but we got Excelsior, and then there's a bunch of like Infinity Crab, Crabtron.
Yeah, lots of Marvel, awesome. Lots of Star Wars crap. Yeah, lots of nerds work here. We have fun with it.
That's cool, man.
But it also tastes good.
It tastes good.
From somebody who's not on that end of it, this beer is good.
An unbiased part.
Yeah. You got the sour or something?
I'm
what do you got?
I'm trying their new grape sour, which...
Yeah, it's called Groovy Grape.
It's dangerous. I'll say it's dangerous because it tastes so good and doesn't taste like alcohol.
How much alcohol is in it?
7.2.
Yeah, that'll get you flying.
Dude, we didn't even rate anything, man. Because we have a sampler,
I drink most of the sampler, bro.
Jay, how's that water?
The water was delicious. And I had cold brew earlier, which was...
Dude, yeah, I'm big on this. The Nebula, dude. The Crab Nebula. This is the one that everyone's freaking about today because it's new.
Yeah.
Dude, what is it? It's an oat... What is it?
Yeah, oat cream IPA.
Yeah, oat cream IPA, bro. Like, what?
Oat cream. Dude, you give What's me some oat weird. Cream?
Exactly.
Sounds
dude.
Bad.
Exactly, man.
It's them street
crab
they keep calling.
Nebula in the glass, bro. I'm feeling that one.
The Flavor Zone.
Flavor Zone, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
So our beer philosophy is to have something for everyone. So if you look at our beer menu, we've got everything from crisp light pilsners all the way to down and dark, you know, stouts. And, of course, I've got to have a couple hazies on the board and sours.
Yeah, for sure.
So we try to keep something up for everyone. And our head brewer, Adam, does a great job of cycling through that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you guys have an awesome operation, man. I mean, the brewery is beautiful, clean, and again, man, these barrels are like, there's a Woodford Reserve, there's a Willits, there's God, man, there's some amazing barrels back here, you guys. For anyone that's nerdy enough to figure out what these barrels are for, like, yeah.
Elijah.
I think we got it.
What's coming out is about to be for real, because this is
beautiful. I think the first one I tried on the sampler was the Pilsner.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been listening, but I compare everything to Miller Lite.
I do.
Yeah, all right. On a everything. Rate of one to Miller Lite, you know what I mean?
Gosh.
And that was killer. That was killer. What? It was delicious, man. Way more body than a Miller Lite, dude. It didn't have like that bitter, you know, make your eyes suck like a Miller Lite does. And one thing is, I'm trying to break away from the party beers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Miller Lite.
Oh, dude.
All that kind of stuff like that. Because
To pair on to your thought, the party beer days are over.
I know. The cases of Heineken and all that. Like, I'm trying to steer away from that. You know what I mean?
Picture I sent you the other night. Yeah, so y'all heard Elder Pine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elder Pine out in the woods, right?
That's
my buddy's spot. And so he dropped this beer the other day, and I took a picture of it and sent it to Tez because I was too scared to drink it in the tasting room because it's called The Sheer Tyranny of Will.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, it's our newest thing. It's a limited. It's Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels for 14 months. I was looking at it, and I was too scared to order it because it's like 11-some percent.
Damn.
And, you know, 14-year barrel-aged, kind of whatever, beer. You know. I'm like, man, I can't, dude. I can't, man. I'm here hanging out. And they're like, take something to go, right? And I was like, all right. Yeah. And the guy there was like, yo, sit on your couch tonight when everything's done and pop one of these and go for it. I was like, all right. So I did. And I almost finished it, you know? Yeah. I couldn't get out of the way. Me and my wife, we were splitting one day.
Yeah. Good call.
Yo, like, but it was incredible. Like, every single sip of it was like a journey into outer space or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I like the guy. I like your guys' crazy labels. And I think with what I'm seeing around me, that you guys are going to have some beers coming out that people are going to be scared to drink.
Oh, for sure.
So
sure.
Goddamn
but
good,
that's the whole, you know? That's the whole fun of it all. You know what I mean?
Man. Definitely.
My whole time, I'm like, yo, what am I going to drink when I watch 90 Day Fiancé tonight? I'm looking like, which one is it going to be?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you were talking about party beers. Like, back in the day, it was like, yo, is this 30-pack going to be enough for tonight? Or are we going to need more than this 30-pack? Like, should we really think about this, you know? And that's 30 beers. And now it's like, yo, I almost finished it. You know?
Yeah.
The one.
Almost finished.
The one, you know?
Like, you can control your night with your six pack.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
The six pack is, that's half the week. I don't even got to think about the beer store again until like Wednesday, you know? Like, no way.
But man, those light beers, they cycle in and cycle out so easy. It's just like water.
Yeah.
The volume means nothing.
Yeah. I'm a sucker. I mean, I guess just like most average consumers, like, you know, beer drinkers, is like, I like the dark, heavy beers in the winter and then the light, crispy beers in the summer, right? You know, I just go seasonal. So the Pilsners I'm going to be jumping on in the next like couple months, it's about to be on.
I'm consistent all year.
All year?
Yeah. Either wheat or a good Pilsner. Now that I've kicked the Heineken can, like, I'm trying to like, I haven't landed on something to replace it just yet. But I like wheat beers have really been like, because, you know, like one or two, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to having like six, seven Heinekens in the night. You know what I mean? But like a real good wheat beer. Like,
do
you know,
George
like,
on right now?
We do. We have a great Hefeweizen on, Furious George.
Oh yeah, the banana joint, the paintings of the dude with the banana. The Hefeweizen got that.
Will
banana
we go at home? Yes, they will.
Yeah.
So that's two. What's it called?
Furious George.
Furious George, man. And the Chuck. You got Chuck Brown in cans, right?
We do, yeah.
I'm taking that home. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to. I got to put that on the shelf, dude. Chuck Brown, man, like, he was huge, man.
Yeah.
Chuck Brown was huge.
Oh, yeah. And we're all local, so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Music guy's got to rep DC local music, too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. We're trying to, like, this whole thing that we are trying to create with this podcast, man, is local, period. DMV, as we call it. You know, the whole, there's so much talent, so much everything, man. Like, there's so much beauty in it, too.
Yeah.
So as much as we want to, like, all of, like.
Beauty.
It is. Even in crafting beer, it is.
Absolutely.
Like, that's an art. It takes skills and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's not just a job.
I mean,
you got to love what you do.
Yeah. You guys
can't
see.
No, I'm not talking about the people. The people are beautiful, but Maryland as a whole, like, dude, I was cracking up yesterday about it being like, well, I don't know, March, in the middle of March, you know, and getting the sideways snowstorm for the one day in the middle of March. And I was like, yo, this is it's total Maryland weather, man.
I took it personal. I took it personal.
Mother Nature was like, me.
I want to get a little deeper into the band as well. Like, we talked about the brewery and all the different labels and stuff, but now there's a band side of it. So we were touching on earlier how, like, you know, me and Tez started playing during COVID because we were just going crazy otherwise. So we started making music and doing what we're doing now. You guys did something similar, and even crazier, you guys did it virtually. Like, me and Tez were lucky enough to have a big, huge space where we could spread out and just open up and do it. You guys did it all laptop to laptop or whatever, right? I guess the big thing is being a cover band while writing originals, writing music during COVID and coming out of COVID, where does it go? Like, what's the plan?
It kind of all has to do with how many... what would you call it? I call them riffs, but like how many clips you give me and then I'll take them and go. So like, I'm the kind of writer where I can write lyrics all day, but then they don't fit with whatever somebody sends me musically or whatever. So he was sending me stuff. Derek, our bassist, was sending me stuff, and it was like COVID. I was going through like one of the hard, I was getting divorced and everything.
Yeah.
And like all that stuff was happening. And so it was just a perfect time, perfect storm, if you will, of coming together with, they sent me something and then I'd splice it together on my, you know, my very basic, not like you over here, my man, like with your editing skills. And I'd splice it together and it sounded like crap. And then he or Derek would send it back full and then we'd record it. And then we tried to go and do it in a studio. And it's just like, it's all very emotional. Like all of it's very emotional and very much,
right.
You know, as artists, when you write stuff, it's your life.
Yeah.
Like I pretend like it's not, but it is.
I feel that. Okay, so this is how we go down the rabbit hole then, right? So as far as playing music, you're splitting up the set, so it's some covers and some originals, and you're probably going back and forth with it too, right?
Yeah.
So how does it feel? Like the covers to me would be like get how much you can get the crowd hyped up.
Right.
The originals is getting yourself out.
Exactly.
Okay.
What's funny is we've received the exact opposite feedback every time we've played, where it's like, man, your originals are so great. Like, I want to hear more of those. Play them in a row. Like, we want an original set, which is very validating.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you've heard Sublime 1,000 times. You don't need to hear it again. You've heard it.
Yeah.
And the fact that people are vibing with the original music is great. And I think inspiring for us to get away from using covers as a way to really get booked up for somewhere where you can start presenting your originals.
Well, okay, so here's where I'm kind of crossing the lines, okay? You guys apparently all have jobs. Not only previous jobs, but current jobs, from brewery owners to health teachers,
mm-hmm.
You know? And me and Tez are the same, as far as we've got our own trades that we work, and we also do music on the side, so we're doing it for the purpose of making it, but
I just make videos for the internet.
Lucrative
these days.
Well, where I'm trying to go is, like, you guys aren't relying on the band to pay your bills. You want the band to be its own beautiful thing for you guys to be able to do. It's like a hobby, and if it makes some money doing it, then cheers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. So
I don't know about you, Dan. I don't want to speak for you, but for me, it was always one of those, like, pipe dreams that I thought I could aspire to, and I tried. And then, you know, you have to have a lot of confidence and a lot of grit, and you just got to be able to take the worst criticism from the worst people. I'm not looking at you, Alex.
She is looking at me. That was definitely a...
Not
Alex, how does it feel to be the worst person?
Well, you get used to it.
We
were literally just talking about this earlier.
Yeah, I think that's why I was looking at you. But no, you have to just be ready for everybody to hate you. And, you know, and then we got old, speaking for myself.
Here we go with this old stuff again.
No, we just you still love it, though. It's like,
yeah,
you're a
yeah.
parent, you're a... whatever you're doing, your real like day job kind of thing, but it's a passion. And I think if we're not doing it for that reason, then who cares? Like, we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. Especially for me, like, Alex and I have been in a band since we were 13 years old. We've been playing nonstop. That's been my whole life. So the thought of turning that off, even if we're not going to be playing stadiums around the country, like that dream has gone, but turning off being a part of a band would feel like a piece of me dying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've always come up with riffs. I've always been messing around with random stuff, and just not having a place to go with that really just left me feeling super antsy. Mm-hmm. And in a pandemic where I was literally at home with my wife and my daughter, and it was a blessing to spend so much time with them, but not having a place to put music was very difficult. And that's why I was so excited to team up with Kate again, and Derek, who I played with forever as well, and have a place to send musical ideas and get something back, get that kind of feedback. And the fact that she could actually write lyrics that sounded good and had melody versus the crap that I used to write, which was like, we were talking about basement punk rock earlier, and the only thing I could get away with singing and writing would have been stuff like that back in the day, which those days are long over, at least in this circle. It was cool to like put music out there and get something back that sounded like a song that meant something. So I felt very lucky to find them in this context. And now that people are going out and seeing live music again, it's really exciting to be able to put those songs out into the world and get something back from them too. So I think that's what I'm looking to get out of it, is share that music with people and get them excited and hear our sound, which is, very unique, because she's grown up with all the old school country stuff. I grew up with rock and roll and punk music. Derek was very much like, we joke about Rush, that is Derek. And our drummer, it's also kind of old school country, but...
Well, and my first high school dance was a go-go dance. So I'm like, all over the place.
Bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it. Pancake house,
sorry, everybody.
So, yeah.
We all geeked out real quick.
No, that's not geeking out. That's
Did we mention you should come by and pick up some Chuck Brown cans?
Right, Chuck Brown.
Got me sweating. I started sweating right now, Tez. I'm sweating already.
You had said something earlier we were talking about. We're trying to shift our, like we said this earlier, our covers toward more our sound. And you made the very psychologically awesome point of why people are choosing like niche, however you say that word, stuff.
Yeah. I mean, when I was 19 or 20, like cover bands were cover bands, and you just played whatever people would party to. And now I feel like people are looking for a band that sounds like something.
Sepultura cover band. This Thursday only.
Hey, I'd book it.
It's kind of like breweries. Yeah. Like, you know, you want to go to the brewery that has your taste. You want to go
That's very true. Yeah,
like
there's the live sour
music.
Brewery,
there's
the stout brewery.
So many
well,
things.
Like, you know, there's two kinds of live music. And I think this is valid, especially when talking about cover bands versus original bands, is, you know, a lot of the times your cover bands, they're there. They're going to play there all night. And it's meant to be almost more of like...
background noise.
Background music.
Yeah.
Socialization music, party music to dance to and not really think about. If you go to a venue or a show with original bands, a lot of times like the bar is going to get shafted and everyone is there to watch the band and kind of like bob their head and take on the experience of the band, like going to a club in the city, right? So I think that's where both of them are. And it's to mesh them together is where it gets very, very interesting.
Well, it's funny you say that because clearly at Crooked Crab, we're music lovers. Alex and I have played music forever. We book live music every week. We have an artist here always playing. And what we found is that a lot of times it's the cover artist who plays the stuff that everyone plays and nobody cares. And I feel bad for them because I try to book really good artists.
Right.
And they come in and they do their thing. But we want to feature artists. So we're actually going to shift soon from having the people who are just playing while you're drinking beer to people that we can feature more to draw in folks who are coming to listen to music. And that probably means more original music and people who can tell a story. And soon we're going to be doing that. So we're really excited because we really care about local artists and we want them here and we want people to listen to the music and not just hear music.
Yeah.
So, the heaviest band me and Tez were ever in was called The Banished, right? One of the heaviest bands I've ever heard in my life, and I was in it, right? So The Banished was only around for a couple years, and it was just kind of one of those, it was heavy the way that like mountains are heavy or that like monsters of the sea are heavy. It wasn't heavy like Metallica. It was just a really, really heavy band. And we got booked for a month showcase at a bar where we'd play every Thursday night. It was a good bar. It was a bar that I worked at, you know, like we were in over there and stuff. But remember Banished Thursday, man? Like, it was Thursday or Tuesday. It was one of the two. But we played there every week for a month. We were like a showcase, right? And it was so funny, dude, because, you know, we'd played there before for like a metal night. Like five metal bands are playing here and it's going to be a thing. So we'd play there and do our thing, right? But we got booked on a nightly spot weekly. And we would go in, dude, and the place would be pretty busy. Like, it was a nice place. It was jumping, right? We'd go up there. We'd set up, dude. And first song, half the place was gone. We would scare out way more people than we would bring in, you know?
Especially on a weeknight.
Yeah. Like,
that's tough, man.
But they were fun, though. They were awesome shows to play. And, you know, we had some good connections there. And it was just a cool experiment on society, you know, to scare a room half to death, literally, when you walk in it, you know, like it was pretty cool. So if you guys can bring something like that back, I would love to get chased out of here by how crazy a band was. You know what I mean? Like that vibe.
I love that story.
Yeah.
I've been on the other end of that. I was in a band in college. It was kind of indie rock, you know, a lot of acoustic stuff though, a lot of kind of more mellow stuff. We went to this show at a church in the middle of nowhere and we just thought we were going to be, you know, part of this show.
York, Pennsylvania. I was at that show.
were you there?
Yes.
You know the story I'm about to tell?
I don't know the story you're about to tell.
A church in York, Pennsylvania sounds like a great show already, dude.
All the way up.
I'm already there, man. I'm with it. Go ahead.
We show up at this place, you know, and we're ready to play our set. And the first band goes up there and it's like straight up screaming, you know, hard as stuff. Hard stuff. I don't know if we do that on the show.
You can totally.
It's hard as shit.
And we're like, okay, man. Yeah.
We're all adults.
We'll apologize to Tez's mom later.
We already did the fuzzy peach thing, right?
The E on the bottom, so.
Fuzz box, everybody. Fuzz box.
But yeah, man, I mean, we got up there and we were like, you know what? Screw it. We're just going to like pump the distortion on, pump the overdrive up. And we played the exact same set twice as fast, three times as loud. And I thought the people that were there for that show were going to be like, what the hell is this? And they were into it, man. They were like rocking out with us, even though we were like completely out of our element, just faking it. And it was awesome, you know, because they were like,
hell yeah, these guys
came, they heard what we were about and they jumped into it. I feel like as long as you can get that, you know, wherever you are, if you could just get that,
that's
the dream.
Yeah.
You know?
We played the heavy community for so long that we've seen it all. but that's come before us.
I mean, that's the difference, though, between playing at a venue where people know they're going there to hear music and people who are going out to have a drink and then all of a sudden there's music there, you know? Like, if you're going to be a venue that showcases music, you got to advertise, like, yep, we're having music tonight.
Yeah.
Like, just to let you know, and like, that is the thing.
You got to, if it's going to be a cover band, tell the people it's going to be a cover band.
You remember that show in Salisbury that we played? It was like that tiny little stage. Nobody was there. It was that stage. It had like the ropes up.
The
monkey barrel.
The monkey barrel.
Yeah, something like that.
Salisbury, right? Ran outside of the college.
But it was only like Miller Lite and Bud Light.
We played, everybody that was at there, like everybody at the venue, like nobody there knew that there was going to be music.
Dude, I completely forgot we even played that show until you just said something. But as soon as you said the ropes and the monkey barrels, I was like, oh yeah, man, I played that show.
Yeah. But that was one of those places where like the people who were there had no idea that they were going to see music.
That's kind of cool, though. That's kind of cool. That's how it happens. That's how you fall in love with something.
Well, the coolest part about that show, though, was people actually were walking by the bar and heard us playing and came in and hung out for the set.
That's old school, man.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
It's like a happy surprise.
It was. It was very happy.
So, well, yeah. Here's your happy
surprise. So now it's
happy surprise.
Walk in.
Are y'all using this place to play? Do y'all play here a lot?
We've played here twice.
So you're going to use this now when you're trying to break away from the covers to get back into your original stuff?
Maybe. Why not?
I mean, you know.
I kind of feel like, as you guys were just saying, you said it perfectly. People come here to drink. Yeah. Not necessarily. I mean, and I think you guys are trying to open yourselves up to the music scene as well. But the beer, the drinks speak for themselves. That's what's bringing people in. And like, if you end up having that happy surprise of music, then great. And so, yes, we would obviously love to be here as often as possible. Because the clientele who's drinking this awesome beer are also our kind of people.
There's a niche for it.
You know, we want to also be invited into the places where music is the highlight too.
I went to this spot. I'm trying to remember the name. It's up in Frederick. Is it Smoketown?
Is there a Smoketown?
Smoke show?
It's a brewery, right? It's a brewery, but like it's like this old industrial building. There's no food. Like they'll give you like hummus, right? You can order, like they have to have a menu for legal reasons. So you order hummus and they like literally like open the top of the Sabra joint and give it to you. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like enough to be legal, right?
Yeah.
But they do a bunch of live music. Like do a lot of shows, like, you know, punk shows, reggae shows, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they'll take on all kinds of stuff. But I went there for an Irish folkman who's a friend of mine. I went there to go see his show. And I ordered a couple beers and got me a Safeway hummus, you know what I'm saying?
Top hummus, huh?
It was just digging it, man. But like what I'm saying is there's a scene because there was no outside beer there. The only beer you could get at the joint was a joint made in house. You know, like it was made for sure. So it's almost like marketing it and scheduling it. So it's like, this is our night. Like the brewery is going to be open. It's different hours, different this, whatever, you know, like make it fun, make it weird. And just put on a whole bunch of whatever, punk bands, a couple reggae bands, a couple jazz bands, a couple soul bands. Like it doesn't matter, man. Like whatever you guys want to do, it's all going to be beautiful.
We're piggybacking on the success of the breweries right now.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Why not?
We're trying to get back out and...
It's another avenue.
You already know that there's going to be a lot of people there because they love the brewery scene. Yeah. And then, you advertise the kind of music that night and there you go.
So, Kate, are you over your stage fright now? Like you said you were scared in the American Idol.
Yes. No, and I attribute that all to, by the time I've met Dan and Alex, I had gotten over it, but it was all this, like, we were doing like the church circuit with, you know, contemporary church music and Joe Capps. That's actually the common thread between all of us. And they were just nice. And I think that's what I needed, is just somebody that was just like, you know what, you've got a good sound and nobody's judging you here, and just
except
like let it
for
out.
Jesus.
Except for Jesus. But like, yeah.
I don't like this song, my son.
I'm gonna go say like 7,000 Hail Marys now, but so it was just like that welcoming environment, and people were moved by it. I think when you said that's literally all it is for me, is just moving people in. You know,
so how does it feel now to be in a band and playing shows
and
being
a singer? Yeah, singing, we're doing off, look at us, like pay attention. And so we're trying to figure out how to make people pay attention and want to, like want to pay attention is really the bigger thing.
She's actually the one with stage presence. All of us are kind of sitting there doing our thing, looking at our fretboard, and she's dancing around. I'm like, we should probably do something interesting while we're playing.
Well, I'll tell you, man, there's some magic to it. Like, okay, so I was at this show, and the first band was a three-piece, guitarist, bassist, and drummer. And they had some little keyboards on the sides and stuff, right? And their music is pretty intense. King Buffalo, right? Check them out. They're like kind of in a rush sort of vibe, and they're jammy, but they're heavy, and they're dark and stuff. And I love their records. Like I feel like I'm one of the ones who found them. I don't even know how I found them, but I found them. You know, wow. You know, and their records are beautiful. They recorded a record in a cave. Stop laughing, Tez. You don't gotta laugh, bro.
Like, I love this.
I really like these guys. You know.
When they hear this band, they're going to be like, what? Found us? What?
They're not that big, dude.
Found
they're not
by
that
Dan.
Kind of.
Like, found in a cave.
Like, footnote.
It's Dan's new side podcast.
You know what, though? Maybe that's true. Like,
I don't
maybe.
Know. I at least feel like, it feels like
you
I found
them.
No one else knew them before me, you know? Like, I feel
Dan,
like I found them.
You found them.
Fan number one.
Yeah. Number one, right?
Patient zero.
I went and saw them. I'm very excited
to
see them.
I liked them before their first record.
Kind of. Like, even before...
In the garage.
MySpace,
in the cave.
The first
in the basement.
On MySpace.
MySpace?
My
I got all the original stuff.
Well, that's my personal website.
Is that
my
like,
spice.
It's like
my
when they still website. Had their original
it's like
singer?
Hair volume?
Yeah.
MySpace.
He's in the middle of like a serious story. And we're like, MySpacing it.
I'm just
continue.
Trying to talk about stage
continue.
Presence. That's all I'm trying
go
to
ahead.
Do is talk about
continue.
Stage presence.
Go
all
ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
Gain composure.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So they weren't as good as I thought they were going to be.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Thank I'm hitting all of them. I'm hitting all of them,
Jay. Thank you.
You just get all of them.
Thank you. It's good to be the first one to get all of them, you know.
Oh my gosh.
They were just boring, yo. Like, and I'm a big fan of the music, you know, and musically they were solid. Like, it was a total Rush show.
Yeah.
It was Rush, you know what I mean? Like, they were jamming, they were out there. It was great. But just like no presence. They didn't talk to the crowd. You know, it just wasn't really like there. And so I was like, all right, whatever, you know. And then like there was a break between the other band. The other band's from the UK, Uncle Acid's from overseas. And I know them. I've been a fan of them for a couple of years. They're okay, you know. They're like a kind of a witchy Beatles kind of sounding band, right? They came out and destroyed the joint. Like, it wasn't even about talking to the crowd. It was just about the energy that they were putting out, brought everybody in, and it was just this feeling in the air. And the only other cool thing that they did, which was rad, is they had the projectors going behind them of all this tripped out lava lamp kind of shit going on back there. But they cut all the lights for stage front, so it was all dark. Instead of the spotlights on the guitarists, bassists, and singers, it was darkness. So it was like these shadows in front of this projection. So it was like all these freaking vampires up on stage doing their thing to you, man. And it was like a certain, it made an element to it. And I was like, wow, just in the lighting alone, they made a vibe off of that show with what they've got, you know, and just the way they were going.
So it was a show.
It was grabbing me, dude. And I was like, wow. And I went to the merch booth when I was done and all that. So
it was a show.
You said it. It's energy. That's
Stage presence, man. There's something
with your music or with your Britney Spears, like sex appeal or with whatever it is. It's energy.
You got to make people believe you.
It's energy.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah. And he got way off, but when you was talking about, you know, worried about people coming in and you know, trying to piggyback off the bar or whatever, when you play, you know, your original stuff, now is the time. You know what I mean? Now is the time.
Yeah.
Like, you got the platform, you got the place. Mm-hmm. Now is the time. If you play the same original songs every time you play, the same 5-10 songs you got, you said 10 songs, play the same 10 songs over and over. Because a lot of times is people don't even know that they're missing that until they get it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you could be something that people been needing for a while, but they don't know they need it until it's there,
That's right.
It's in their face.
Yep. And when you walk in, like, you are a multi-platinum, like, you, that's when people start listening. It's the energy.
You
got to
carry
just
that.
Like,
as a musician, as a, whatever you do, you got to carry that attitude.
It really is.
It's
even though you go home and you're like, yeah, I got $5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, man, look, I got a free sandwich out the deal. Yes. I'm good, bro. I'm good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good, man. Yeah. Yeah. You win.
Absolutely.
Like, there's been, you know, this it's to believe, you believe in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to make others believe that you believe in what you do. That's what it's all about. That's what we sell it. We are selling our art.
Absolutely.
We have to make people believe that we strong, wholeheartedly believe in the art that we're putting out, playing music.
Have you know,
even the dude
yet?
With the labels for the cans. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's his art. Artistry got to be on point. So people, oh man, that can look fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
that artwork looks like it belongs on skateboards.
It does.
Well, there's a lot of skateboards so laying around too.
Yeah, we're all about skate culture.
Yeah.
Like, even before Dan and I were playing in a band together, I like collected cans from Crooked Crab and either in my kitchen, and my kids go like, why is there like that cool robot? It's like, can I drink that? I'm like, no, it's mommy juice. But like, they're so cool that they like, and I'm pretty picky.
Our cans are kind of marketed towards children, it turns out.
Well, maybe, but no, it's just like, it's cool. It's capturing, it's eye capturing.
That's why we no longer have a vape industry.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let's backtrack that a minute. Like, they're not marketing to kids at all. They're marketing to
nerds.
They've got energy.
Nerds.
It's
nerds.
Just like passion.
Nerds all over the world.
Nerds, and like, you can see the passion in their work. So, period.
You asked if we recorded. We have recorded some demos. So, right after we finished our songs, we're like, let's put these down on tape.
Yeah.
And we got into a studio. We did basically everything live real fast.
Yeah.
Just to document them. So, we didn't.
How'd it turn out?
Pretty good. I mean, I feel like every time I record, when we finish, I'm like, if we started right now, we would crush it.
Yeah.
And so it was good, but I would like to get back in there and do them the way we do them now.
Yeah.
It was after they were written, and we hadn't been out playing them because of COVID. So you go into a studio and there's already all that like nervous energy. And we need to do it again because now we've played them 1,000 times. And
instead of one.
Yeah, instead of one. Because they all came together so fast.
Yeah, we did like 1.5 days in a studio, live tracking the music and then overdubbing the vocals. And by the end of that, you've heard them so many times that you know exactly what you want to do. And you've like, but the track's already laid. And we didn't have really a purpose for them at that point. So we were like, whatever, let's just have them. But we'll get back to them. We have a live recording session again next month where we're going to put some original stuff down and do a live video.
You guys have you out on whatever, the Spotify, iTunes, Google, all that stuff yet, or just Bandcamping it, or what are y'all doing?
We're thinking we need to go with Napster. Have you heard the whole thing? Have you heard the thing?
Napster.
You mentioned Napster earlier, and I
heard
LimeWire's
the way to go.
LimeWire's
coming back.
I think there's like a meme going around. I forget who it was. But like, Napster pays out 9 cents on the download or on the listen or whatever it is. And all of the other ones are like 0.00000.
Yeah, Napster's still out there.
It was a rapper, and he was like, who knew Napster would be the good guys? And like, they're paying more than any of the other platforms are.
Yeah, but no one's going to go to Napster and find you.
I know, right? I know that's like the dumb part. But remember when we used to pay like $1, $2 for a song?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
You get them for free.
Future, man.
You were saying like it's all touring now.
Touring,
circuit. Here we are.
That's
honestly.
I'll buy your guys' vinyl when it's out.
Vinyl.
Man, I want you guys here. I need you guys at Crooked Crab so we can host you for your original shit.
That's great.
We can give you 10 songs.
That's all I want. Give me 10.
Hey, I was thinking like you guys are talking about doing some stuff. We'll open for you. You can open for us. Like we'll just like do a
whiplash
for sure.
A cyclical thing.
Would recommend
it'll be a night. I'm gonna tell you what
you should listen to the 10 roars first before you
gotta bring that heavy shit back here. Scare everyone.
We have some heavy shit good. That we could potentially bring, you know, like, but
it's calmed down a lot. It's definitely not what it was. It's definitely more if you will.
Yeah,
if you will.
It's like Miller Lite.
It's like Miller Lite. Less body.
Jay, man.
It went from
goes right through you.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of what it sounds like.
I got at least one of those today.
Yes.
Thank you.
I was thinking it's gone from like from De Novo to the 10 Roars is like from August Burns Red to Clutch.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. Well, okay, so what you guys were saying about recording,
Clutch.
Right? So figured out we was gonna start making music again during COVID, right? got into a studio. We got a studio that we frequent up in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So we went up to Philly and we recorded a session, and it was cool. It was like a long weekend kind of thing. Okay, cool. We'll do some tracks. We got them back. They turned out pretty good. We're starting to drop them now. But now we've got another batch of songs that, like, now we've been doing it for a little bit. So we've got a little bit more of a pocket that we're like, okay, this is how we want to sound. So now we're going to put that out, and we got another studio session booked for, I think, up in the middle of May is when we're going to go back in.
Where do we go to check out your stuff?
Yeah.
Spotify, iTunes, Instagram.
The 10 roars.
I guess that's
ten?
It.
Yeah. Is there a 10?
No, it's a word. Yeah. It's a word, not a number. Yeah.
What?
The ten roars?
T-E-N.
T-E-N.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me.
Yeah. No, the 10 roars. Yeah. But not like,
I'm killing it, you guys.
I feel where you guys are coming from as far as like wanting to go back to the studio to do it again, to like taste it. And
yeah, for sure.
The only reason for us doing it right now is we're just trying to create something that the people will hear forever. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even about playing shows or about getting reactions. It's more just about having something stamped in time that is forever kind of thing, you know? That's at least
a legacy,
if
you will.
A legacy, you know, like,
yes.
I did this for long enough that I at least wanted. I've never had my own music on a streaming platform, and I've never had my own music on vinyl. So I'm gonna do both of those.
Well, back in our day.
I'm gonna do both of those.
There was
the 10
no
roles.
Streaming platform.
Yeah, that's true. We were a MySpace band, you know.
I'm pretty sure we've established we're all the same age. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you want to be like Sean Mullins?
Yeah. But I'm all about every local band that puts out vinyl, I'm good for a purchase. So
yeah, I kind of agree with you on that, man. Like, I'm with you. That's the scene.
I want my kids. So I'm thinking of when I was a kid and I would like flip through my parents' vinyl collection, which sucked. It was a lot of Air Supply. I was not a fan. But and Bread. They swear by still to this day. But I want my daughter, when she's grown up, to flip through my vinyl and be like, oh, who's this? 10 Roars, let me throw that on.
Yeah,
and then her get into some heavy shit, and it'd be because she just found an album that maybe none of her friends know about.
Yeah.
But she's like, this is the shit. And then like it lead her to all this different stuff.
I love you, bro. Yeah. That's exactly why I'm trying to do all this.
It's forever, man.
Dan and Dan.
Thank you, Dan and Dan. God, man.
Oh, my God.
God, man. That's exactly it. I took my daughter to a vinyl shop yesterday, like I was saying, when I was out buying stuff. And she's been there enough times that she can like go through it and get it. And she'll pull one out and be like, hey, check this out. She even went, dude, they had an old Casio hooked up in the corner of the drum with headphones. And she's like pulling me over. She's like, come check this out. And she put the headphones on and she's like messing with the pitch shifter on the Casio. Like,
nice.
You know, and I was like, man, I had one of those when I was a kid, you know, like a little Casio. And she's like, man, this is so cool, you know, but they don't have any Ramones here. And I was like, yeah, I know.
She's already cooler than me.
She's
yeah,
a cool,
right?
She's a cool kid, man.
No, I really do think that's a thing.
I'm working on this cool kid. She hasn't been to a live show yet in her life because the past couple years have sucked. And because she's 8 years old now. So
that's
I'm trying to
thing.
Think of the first show.
I was going to say, what
amazing.
Will it be? What will it be?
Is that going to be JoJo?
Halsey's coming this summer. She's a Halsey fan.
Halsey would be good.
I'm a Halsey fan too. You know, like I'm big into Halsey.
I support that.
Yeah, me too. But I also have heard that System of a Down might
also
come back on
that.
Tour. And she's a huge System fan.
That is so cool.
She's big into them, but they haven't been on tour in ages. So if System of a Down comes to town, I am absolutely taking my daughter with me to see System of a Down.
2020, System of a Down was touring in Europe, and along with my wife and some friends, we were like, you know what? We're going to fly to Europe, and we're going to see System of a Down.
Fancy.
And of course, it got canceled from COVID, so we never made it out. But I think System of a Down would be a badass first show for anyone.
That would be.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what an 8-year-old would be at System of a Down show because, I was probably in high school when I started listening to them. But if she'd be about it, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's like... It's so funny to see an 8-year-old kid. And she's like, trying to build a prison. Trying to build a prison for you and me. You know, like, and I'm just like, oh, man, she's got it, man. Like, she's
going to talk her way through
she's
it.
Like,
she's going to figure it out.
Pogo, 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 bounce, pogo, pogo, pogo. Like, she's dope, man. So I have to take her to the coolest shows.
Please
ever,
give her
man.
That upbringing, please.
Oh, dude, no, like, the hardest part now is that I'm raising a 90s kid. Yeah. You know, like,
That's
me and my
great.
Wife, both we are. But like she'll go up to her buddies in the neighborhood and she'll be like, hey, y'all watch Monty Python? And they're like, nah, you know? And she's like, ah, y'all listen to like Bad Brains or like Nirvana or any of that? And they're like, no. Smashing Pumpkins? No. And she's like, man, like y'all play Minecraft? And they're like, yeah. She's like, all right, cool. I'm with y'all on Minecraft, but like it takes a minute for her to find that spot, man. Like, you know,
it'll
but,
pan out later.
Yeah. That's what I keep saying. I keep saying, yes, you know, don't worry, girl. Like, there's a whole generation of people that are with you on this, you know, and we're
intergenerational.
Cool.
Intergenerational. Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
Cool. I'm trying so hard with my daughter. Like, she didn't want to listen to rock and roll because she gotten in her head that, like, no girls sing rock and roll. So I literally put on Paramore's like first two or three albums and just like, you're going to spend the next 6 hours listening to this on repeat.
Tell her that Cindy Lou Who is the lead singer of The Pretty Reckless.
What?
I'll play that for her.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Cindy Lou Who is the singer of The Pretty Reckless?
Yes,
that's so cool.
Yeah.
I got to check
it out. Yeah,
Taylor Momsen.
I'm going to check it out.
She is the lead singer of The Pretty Reckless, and they're hot and awesome rocker chicks. And she was Cindy Lou Who in the live action Jim Carrey.
Yep.
That was her.
That was her.
That was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yep. Now we just solved your problem for you.
There you go. That's it. Thank you.
We've solved.
I'm checking it out. I'd see The Pretty Reckless.
No, yeah, they're great.
That is Cindy Lou Who, man.
It's her.
That's
well,
so
she,
good.
Hey, y'all, she does not look like Cindy Lou Who.
That's her, man.
She doesn't look like that anymore. She looks like a grown, beautiful woman, but, you know.
Yo, she does. She's her own beautiful woman, but she is also totally
Cindy.
Are they
metal? What are they?
Yeah, she is.
They're like harder rock.
It's like a Paramore sort of flyleaf.
Okay.
Dorothy.
Okay.
When I got him where I want him now. Sorry. I love that song. I love that song.
Paramore.
Oh my God.
That's a good.
That's a good.
Yeah, they're like very high. High like up there.
I never meant to break.
Oh my God.
But I got him where I want him now, Tez. I hear your drums crashing in right now, man.
Anywho. So first let's start with the pubbery, if you will. Give the address, man. Give all the info so pubbery, people know where to come, where, you know, how are you online? You can order stuff online and everything.
So we're in Odenton, Maryland. Odenton backwards is nothing to do. Used to get that nothing to do here, but get yourselves out because now we have Crooked Crab Brewing Company. Go on down the street to the Hideaway for some great barbecue. There's a lot happening around here, so come on out. We're at 8251 Telegraph Road at Crooked Crab Beer on Instagram, Facebook, and all that good stuff. We have something on for everyone if you're a beer drinker. We even do mead now. So if you're a mead drinker, we've got some meads that are usually on tap. And we hope to see you out. We do live music, so check our Facebook for what the schedule's looking like.
Okay. And delicious. Delicious.
Dude, we have like two left, Tez.
I haven't had anything that I've been
drinking this whole time, trying to just keep up. And I'm pretty far. Like, there's a lot of empty.
Straight alky. Alex, anything you want to add to that, man?
I think Dan covered it. We've got lots of exciting stuff coming soon, music-wise, food-wise, expansion-wise. So stay in touch with us. Keep an eye on it. We'll have something fun coming up.
Yes, sir.
For the band, I believe we're at the Minor Fall Band on the social medias. Keep an eye out online because we're going to drop some live music videos soon, I believe, probably in May or June with some of our new stuff.
Yeah.
Kate, anything?
Just, yeah, all that stuff. Please check us out. Come out and love us.
Love us.
We're awesome. So are you, all of you listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
There you go. The Minor Fall, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Can we get some?
Yeah, sorry. It's getting me chilly. I was keeping my hands warm.
We're waiting up out of here, so you got to give me that hand clap to take us up out of here.
Kate, you said earlier about the minor fall and the what?
We're going to give you a major lift, baby.
Yeah.
There you go.
Major lift.
That deserves another one. I think, yes.
Yeah, I totally
appreciate y'all having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I dig the place, man. This place is awesome.
This place is awesome.
I don't think I'm leaving, bro. I'm staying.
Plenty of room next to the brewery in that cold storage.
I'm not going back. I'm staying, bro.
I've spent a night or two in the office, so we've got a spot for you.
I'm sticking around.
There's a food truck out front, bro.
You're a barrel, aren't you? I've thought about it before.
Dude, yeah, the barrels are amazing.
Crooked Crab,
I can't wait to see what they bring in. The artwork, the scene, the vibe, the nerd culture, man. Crooked Crab really has some cool stuff going on.
Thank you for being the first.
Yay!
The first female.
First female.
Thank y'all for being the first brewery that we actually came to, man. And the vibe is good, man. The place is awesome. Check them out. Crooked Crab, Odenton. I'm your boy, Tez.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Dan, the man with the master
Any last words? Support cystic fibrosis. You know how we get down.
Wait, I do have something to say. Something very important.
Uh-oh.
But Dan, you have to say your closing remarks first.
I don't know, man. Spread kindness, positive mental attitude. Everybody love each other.
Guys, congratulations on making it through the very first episode without one mention of Limp Bizkit.
And that's it for the interview portion of this episode, but make sure you stick around because in just a moment, we are going to get into the music. Before that, though, if you want to learn more about the Crooked Crab or the Minor Fall, all of their information will be linked in the show notes, as well as links to our own social media. So, you know, come by and say hi. And with all of that out of the way, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Until then, here's the Minor Fall.
In this space, you've forgotten your place. The bottom of a bottle is a saving grace. The sun has not gone away. The friends you once had have strayed. Now you're all alone to lay in the bed you it's